ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शक्तिपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्या गजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतःपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नाउ बाय द मर्सी ऑफ भगवान श्री कृष्ण एंड हिज प्योर डिवोटी श्रील प्रभुपाद आई विल स्पीक ऑन श्री विष्णु सहस्र नाम नेम 471 दत्सर This word, the common meaning in modern Indian languages, at least in Bengali, where it's pronounced bodsho, bodsho means year. In Hindi, they usually say sal or varsha. Vatsara means a year. And when you hear that vatsa, that also suggests something else. What can you think of? Anyone? It means calves. Vatsa. In Bengali, as you're all coming from my poem. Bodsho means calf. And if you study the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Srila Prabhupada recommends in the preface by going through the verses with the Sanskrit and the word-for-word translation, you'll find that this word is also often used as a form of address, especially for a superior in a father-like position to a junior. It addresses them as vatsa. Means just like the cow has affection for the calf, so the senior is expected to have affection for the junior. There are other meanings given also, Sanskrit being such a language that one word can have many meanings. The first meaning, the main commentary that I'm following is by Parashara Bhatta of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. He has given none of the commentators give very elaborate commentaries, but he gives quite an elaborate commentary. So he gives the meaning to mean he who lives within all living beings, derived from the root form vas, to live, to dwell, just like we have the word Vasudeva, which means who resides everywhere. So he who lives with all living beings. I won't dilate on this much because, like many of the names in Vishnu Sahasranam, the meaning of one name overlaps with another. So another name in Vishnu Sahasranam is Vasudeva. Another one is Vishnu. Unsurprisingly, it's Vishnu Sahasranam. Name Vishnu comes where? Anyone? We've got our young boys in the Gurukula, they were studying Vishnu Sahasranam. Did you teach them? You taught them. So Vishnu, you would expect that to be number one, isn't it, in Vishnu Sahasranam? First name. It comes as the second name. So he who lives within all... Well, actually it means, yeah, the meanings overlap. Who lives within all living beings, who's all-pervading, who lives everywhere. We just had, just before this, in the same verse, came the name Vyapi, which means who is present everywhere, who's all-pervading. So another way of saying that is that he's present within all living beings. He's known as Antaryami, the one who lives within. So Parashara Bhakta says that he lives within all living beings as the means of administering dharma, his dharma. Bhagavan also has dharma. Every jiva has their dharma, and Bhagavan also has his dharma, his innate propensity. So his dharma within this material world, a major part of that is bestowing the results of the actions upon people. So that's also part of dharma, that you get what everyone gets what they deserve. So that's a basic understanding of dharma within this material world. And that is administered by the Supreme Lord who dwells within everyone. As he states in Bhagavad Gita, Upadrashtanu Manta Cha Bhukta Bhukta Maheshwaraha. What's the next line? Bhukta Bhukta Maheshwara Paramatmevti Chapyukto Dehesmin Purusha Paraha. He dwells within everyone's heart as the witness. He sees everything. Upadrashta, he's another seer. The seer is the living being he sees, and also who sees, who allows the other to see, is the Paramatma. And he allows, he gives the results of what everyone deserves. Okay, you get this. As Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of a judge in a court, he's neutral. Someone, he says, okay, you have to hang tomorrow morning. And the next person comes, he says, all right, now you get $1 million settlement. So it's not that he's partial, but he gives everyone what they deserve. Upadrashtanu Manta Cha Bhukta, he is the actual enjoyer. Upadrashtanu Manta Bhukta Bharata, he is the, literally means husband, the one who takes responsibility, the Maheshwara, he's the supreme controller. He's known as Paramatma, and he resides in the body of everyone. As the superior being. So that's one meaning of Vatsara, who resides in everyone's heart, specifically for the purpose of administering dharma. Then he lives within all living beings, and another meaning, this is given by Shankara, Shankara Acharya. He who him, from the word vasa, which becomes vasa, residence. He in whom everything resides. He resides in everything, and everything resides in him. We're all inside Krishna. We're all in the energy of Krishna. In one sense, can be said, we're all in Krishna. Mayatatamidam sarvam jagada vyakta murti namatsthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshvavastitaha. Krishna says that this whole universe is pervaded by me. I'm in everything, but everything is not in me. So in one sense it's not. It is and it isn't. Directly, not exactly. But we're in Krishna in as much as we are within His material energy. So He's in everything, everything's within Him. That means He's the smallest, if He's inside everything. And He's the greatest, because everything resides in Him. Then the word Vatsara, which means year, that is, the meaning is given here as He is infinite time. There's 1 year, which means one from the earthly perspective, according to modern cosmology. 1 year is equivalent to the time it takes the earth to rotate the sun, or according to Vedic cosmology, it's round the other way. But anyway, it takes a certain amount of time. It's approximately 365 1/4 days. Not exactly. Every 4 years there's a leap year to keep the months in the right place. But every so often, maybe, I don't know how often, maybe every 100 or 200 years, there has to be something else adjustment, because it's not exactly 1/4. And it's probably varying also. It may not be exactly, because the speeds of the planets may change, the positions of the planets may change. But anyway, we have a rough idea of what a year is. But when does it begin? When does the year begin? It's arbitrarily, more or less arbitrarily selected. That's why we have so many new years in India. We have the Gregorian New Year on the 1st of January. And then in Gujarat, it begins the day after Dev Diwali, isn't it? Day after. Dev Diwali is the last day of the Gujarati year, isn't it? Day after Diwali. What's Dev Diwali then? Last day of Kartik. So Govardhan Puja Anukut. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's the Gujarati New Year. And then in many places in North India, it's that also begins on Deepavali, isn't it? Some begin on Deepavali. In Bengal, it's Pohila Boishak, means the first of Vaishak, right in the middle of the summer. And then in Kerala, what's that? Onam? Onam they have, where the something to do with Bali Maharaj. In Tamil Nadu, it's on the Sankranti, April. But that was moved by Karunanidhi to Sankranti, and now Jayalalitha moved it back to April. So, well, that's the point I'm making. It's arbitrary. You can set it wherever you like, because we also have Gaurabdha, which begins the day after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is born. So it's arbitrary. You can't exactly say where it begins or where it ends. You can make a measure, 1 year, beginning here, ending there. But exactly where, because it's relative to the motion of the planets, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, long before Mr. Einstein thought about it. Time is relevant to movement, beginning from the atomic level up to the universal level. Therefore, we have in one chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, calculation of time, the time it takes for one atom to move over another. That's the smallest amount of time, up to the whole time of the universal existence. And distance also, the Vedic, there are so many numbers in the Vedic dictionary for distances. Distance, or no, not distance, it's used for distances. So generally in modern Indian languages, they'll say, they have words for 10, 100,000, 100,000, and 10 million. That goes up to crore or koti in Sanskrit. But there are numbers which go long, much, 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 much bigger. Maybe all of you studied. Padma, I think, is the biggest, is it? How many is that? 10 to the power of?
16.
10 to the power of 16. There's a word for it. In English, there's no word for it. It's just 10 to the power of 16. That's all. That's another thing in Vedic science, the zero, without which modern science is impossible to do. You can't, there's no calculations without this. Try doing it in Roman numerals, multiplying 56 by 2,122. You can't. How could they do it? You can't think without a zero. I don't know how you can even think of multiplying in the Roman numeral. They must have had something because they were building ships and things. They must have had some kind of geometry. Building ships, they're building big temples. So they must have some idea. Those numbers, and they're also, those big numbers are used particularly in cosmology. So there was an understanding of the relationship between space and time long before Mr. Einstein. So Vatsara gives the idea of a year, but where does it begin and where does it end? It just goes on and on and on, infinite time. Krishna is infinite time. As he says, I believe three times in Bhagavad Gita, he identifies himself as time. Kalos, he uses the word kala in different words. Time, he is time. That time is one of those things so everyone knows what it is, but no one can define it. If you try to define it, it becomes very difficult. If you start to think about it, what it is, it's very difficult. It can be described as the... But you can only describe it by using the same term, which is self-defeating. What is time? You can say the period in which one trasareno, isn't it called? That's the smallest amount of time. It's seen through the lattice of a window. The time it takes to... Then again, you use the word time. It's very difficult to try to define it. You can't, it's just accepted as an axiom within everyone's mind. Even the very primitive, what we may call primitive tribes who don't have any language, they also have some concept of time. They know that after the day will come the night. There's some concept of time, is there? Night is the time for sleeping. Day is the time for action. So even in a very primitive way, they have some concept of time. So that almost mystical entity is Krishna. That's a representative of Krishna. And time goes in cycles also. There's so much to be explained to the modern world who think their concept of time is linear. Everything began with a big bang, maybe, and then it's going on, but they have no idea that there's srishti, sthiti, pralay, creation, maintenance, destruction, and then again. This name, he in whom everything resides, that interpretation of Vatsara, that also means Mahavishnu, in whom everything resides. After the destruction of everything, everything resides in him, in unmanifested form. Then again it becomes manifested. Bhutva, bhutva, pralaya. Again and again becomes destroyed. Again and again becomes manifested. So time goes in circles. Not linear. There's so many problems with the whole enterprise of what is called Western philosophy. They think they're very advanced, but they have some serious problems. Very, very serious problems. One thing is they don't even recognize reincarnation, which is the most basic fact of existence in this world. They don't even know anything about it. And another thing, they conceive time as just all of a sudden it began. There was either a big bang or God created everything. And then it'll all be finished. But why? Why should God create everything, create a whole bunch of souls, throw most of them into hell, and then finish up? And it's just boom. In eternity, it's just nothing. Especially if you take the biblical interpretation that the world was created 6,000 years ago. And it's coming to an end. When's the latest time they're saying the world's coming to an end? It's always about 1 year from now. Ever since I was a kid, I've been hearing, Jesus is coming, the world is coming to an end, soon, just within 1 year. They're consistent, it's always 1 year. It's always in advance. So why would he create, just he created everything? Then it's finished. And just a blip in time. And in the meantime, there are a whole bunch of souls who get sent to hell forever. Doesn't make any sense. And then the scientists came along and then they said, well, they don't believe in all this Christianity and Bible, but they still inherited their paradigm of time as having a beginning and an end. So there was a mystical event. Oops, you're not supposed to use that word in science. Mystical. But anyway, there was a big bang. There was nothing before it. There was nothing which started it. There were no ingredients. You can't imagine it even, but all of a sudden, from nothing, absolutely, there was a huge explosion. Of what? Of nothing. All of a sudden, there was nothing and it exploded. But there wasn't any time, because there couldn't be any time if there was no space or anything in existence. So they couldn't have begun. How could it be? That means there'd have to be some time before it to distinguish between the Big Bang. And anyway, that's their idea. They call it a singularity, which means they haven't got the slightest clue how to try to explain it. So they call it a singularity, which means, singularity means na bhuto na bhavishyati. It never happened and it never will happen again. But it just happened. And you just have to believe in it. Whoops, you're not supposed to say that in science. You're supposed to believe them. Anyway, the Vedic concept is much more sophisticated and realistic, that there is a reason behind everything. Sarva karana karanam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He creates, he maintains, he destroys. It all goes on within infinite time. And then again after destruction, again creation. It all goes on by his will. He is time. That so powerful force. People are trying to be powerful. I will conquer and dominate. But they don't see that they are, however powerful they may seem to be, they are under the control of time. However powerful they may be, time will take it away. Mrityu sarva harashchaham, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. As death, I take everything away. So that's another, mrityu means death, but that's, sometimes the word death is used as a synonym of time also. Kala. Kala means time, Kala is also sometimes used as a synonym of death, because that's what is the ultimate manifestation of time in this material world, death. So it all sounds very grim. It is. This material world is very grim. So that's also one manifestation of Krishna. For those who are not his devotees. As far as the year is concerned, for the devotees, time is something very joyful, because the year is, there are so many festivals throughout the year. Rath Yatra we're celebrating here today. Actually, the actual date is just about 5 days from now, is it? 5 or 6 days from now. Yeah, Thursday, so six, whatever. It's in a few days. So then there's one festival after another. Then there's, what's the next big festival after this? Is this Baladev? Baladev Avibhav, Baladev Purnima. Then there's Janmashtami, Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. Then Radhashtami. Then after that there's a bit of a gap, is it, to Vaman Dvadashi. We're in the land of Vamana. Do you know that? Bharuch. Bharuch on the Narmada, the Puranic name is Bhrigukach. If you see in the Bhagavatam, you'll see that Bali Maharaj was doing sacrifices at Bhrigukach. So that's the place of Vamana Leela. Yeah, so then Vamana Dvadashi, that's a big festival in Mayapur. I think that's probably the only place in the world where it's celebrated. But in course of time, we want to do in, at least in Bharuch also. But have to develop there and let the people take great pleasure in the fact that they're living in the place of Vamanadev. Then after that comes the whole Kartik months and with the Deepavali, Govardhan Puja, Rasa Purnima, and then there's a break for quite some time, which in the West they fill it in with Christmas. They dress Krishna as Santa Claus, which is bogus. And then what comes next? Advaita Saptami, Nityananda Trayodashi. Then what comes after that? It's a big festival in Mayapur, Gaura Purnima, Ram Navami, Nrsingha Trayodashi, and probably I missed, but like this, we have one festival after another, and daily festival. Daily festival means every day singing, dancing, taking prasadam, being happy. Daily festival. And devotees can also remember the eightfold pastimes of Krishna throughout the day, eightfold pastimes of Gaura in Navadvip. So time is something very joyful for the devotee. And for the non-devotee, it's very fearful. As the young woman likes to look in the mirror, oh, I'm so beautiful. And then she gets distressed when she sees lines on the face, more lines on the face. Hair is getting grey, put some mehendi in the hair. But you can't stop time. There's a verse of Shankaracharya. You'll find, he says that someone is asking the woman that, oh, why are you looking down so distressed? What are you looking for? And she replies that, oh, you fool, don't you understand? I'm not looking for anything. I can't get it back, what I lost. What did you lose that you're looking for? Because my head is down because I lost my youth, which I can never get back. So materialistic person is distressed by the loss of their youth. Of course, there are some who think that, okay, we'll be pious, then we can go to the heavenly planets, then we can enjoy. They're fools. Different kinds of fools are there. So, this vatsara, time, here it's stated in the commentary, Bhagavan is the continuum of space and time. You ever heard of that before? Einstein, space-time continuum. If you reduce it all to mathematics, then you can say space and time are the same. Of course, in reality, everything is not mathematics, but if you see the world through mathematical eyes, then you can say that space and time are the same. Well, in one sense they are, because they're all manifestations of Krishna. And they interact with each other. There's no space without time, and there's no time without space. They're interdependent. Then, another meaning. If we take, the word vatsa, he gives the calves, this is a completely different meaning, gives the calves back to the gopas. Means after the calves are stolen away, he gives them back. And another similar meaning is given by Baladev Vidyabhushan, that he personally calls each calf by the calf's own name. How many calves does Krishna have? Now you need big numbers again. How many does he have? You need big, big numbers. 900,000? Yeah? Well, it's always increasing. Maybe you'll be one soon. And Krishna calls him up. Well, how much time would it take to call all the calves? You wouldn't get out in the morning if you have to recite all their names. Well, Krishna can do that. Just like he can be with all the gopis in the Rasleela. How many gopis in the Rasleela? Well, there are different versions. You need big numbers again. And he's with each and every one of them. So he can call all the names simultaneously. You may say, well, that's not possible. Not for you. But for Krishna, it's possible. That's why we're interested in Krishna. That's why we're talking about Krishna. We're not talking about Narendra Modi. He's a great person for a little time. In a little sphere of the universe. But Krishna is unlimitedly great for all time. So that's why we're talking about him. And not just great. He's great, but that's not all. Very powerful. But he's very loving, kind, beautiful, sweet. And that's, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially pointed out, that's why we're interested in Krishna. Not so much because of his power, but particularly because of his sweetness. Madhurja Bhagavatasa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. The main qualification of God being God is not how many people he can chuck into hell forever. In fact, he doesn't do that at all because he's sweet. But his sweetness, he's very sweet. So here in Gujarat, you might have discovered people here like to eat lots of sweets. Everything's sweet. Chapatis are sweet. Dal is sweet. Karela is sweet. Everything's made with sweets. So the Vaishnav Sampradaya here, which its influence is still going on in as much as in Gujarat, we'll find strong tendency of people to be Vaishnava. They like, and particularly Krishna. So that's, the influence is coming particularly from Vallabh's Sampradaya. Although Vallabhacharya himself didn't widely preach here, but his son widely preached here. Vitalnath, I think it was. Gosai, they call him Gosai. So Vallabhacharya, he made this song which is gradually becoming very popular, it seems, in ISKCON. That Madhuradhipater Akilam Madhuram. You know that song? You all learned that song? Yeah. So Krishna is the Lord of all sweetness. All right, I'll finish there. The next name I have to speak on, I think that's going to take several sessions because the next name is Vatsala. So that's a very important name of Krishna, how Krishna is Vatsala, very affectionate to his devotees especially. So that may take... One name I just... The name before this, Naika Kamakrit, that took... How many sessions was that? At least 5 sessions I spoke on that. The next one, Vatsala, is also a lot to speak on. How he's very affectionate. So, Hare Krishna. Today is the Yatra is scheduled to be held. Hari Bol! So chant, dance, and be happy. This festival is organized to attract people to Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. The people are forgetting Krishna. So to attract people to their real happiness, this festival is organized. Quite likely there may be pouring rain. It's quite early this year, is it? Usually you don't have... Usually, long back, 10, 20 years ago, it was at this time of the year there should be rain like this. Yeah, but since I've been going to Baroda Rath Yatra, which is about maybe 20 years or something, it's usually very, very hot. The rain doesn't start, but this year it's early. It's come back to what it should be. So, you may be happy that it's raining, because if not, it would be extremely hot. But anyway, chant, dance, and be happy. Hare Krishna. Thank you to devotees from Navsari, headed by Jai Govinda Prabhu, organizing this festival. And brought all of you here. That's nice. Every year you go somewhere else and see the culture in different parts of India. I was just for the first time in Himachal Pradesh. That's a nice place. But if you go, when it rains there, it's really heavy. It's like the Boishaki Jor. Really heavy. And this season it'll be raining quite a lot. Very, very nice, sweet people. Not much, considering the degradation of India and Kali Yuga, they're much better people, actually. You might want to visit there. If you visit there next year, you can ask us. We'll give you some contacts. They can arrange programs. They'll arrange for you to stay, everything. They like, you can do some programs. They'll be very happy to receive you. Very, very good people. Here in Gujarat, people also very pious, more or less nicely behaved, but very materialistic also. It's a mixture. I always think Gujaratis are like devatas in heaven. They're pious, they're well behaved, and they like pious sense enjoyment. So you have to tell them that this, however much Kerinuras you have, and Vadilal's ice cream, and Amul butter comes from Gujarat. When I first came to India, that was the great treat. If anyone dared to break the brahmachari code and buy some food outside, they'd buy Amul butter, because there was nothing, there was no milk, there was no ghee, it was very rough in those days for us. In most of India, in West Bengal, sometimes we got very watery butter, buffalo milk, when we were traveling in West Bengal. That's why they made, what do they call that? There was the white revolution, they had the green revolution, and then now India produces so much milk. At that time there's hardly any milk, so that was, if you get a little bit of butter and put it on your chapati, don't show anyone you're doing it. That was the height of sense gratification for the brahmacharis. So, yeah, Gujaratis, they know how to enjoy this material world in a pious way, and they're becoming more and more impious, unfortunately. So you should tell them, don't be nonsense, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jagannath Subhadra Baladeva Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.